Welcome to episode 3 of the Canes Cast alongside Michael Smith from CarolinaHurricanes.com, web editor, web head, web writer, web everything, and I believe excited that Spider-Man, who's also known as a web slinger, will be coming out this week.
Well, it's not on my list to see, but maybe I'll have to.
Come on now.
I haven't watched the Spider-Man movies since, I forget who played him in the
Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
I'm Spider-Man.
The first one was fine. The second one was not any good.
No, I kept sitting through that entire movie going, just don't be Tobey Maguire. Just don't do that stupid thing like it and go, I'm Spider-Man. And at the end, like, just flushed it all down the tubes for me. But what a pretty good weekend for the Carolina Hurricanes. Happy Canada Day and 4th of July, Independence Day for those of you listening in the States and
big weekend
up north. It was a huge weekend because it was also free agent signing. The Canes had Summerfest that wrapped up the prospect camp. There were a lot of moving parts going on, Michael Smith, but the big part for the Carolina Hurricanes in free agency, Justin Williams, a 2-year, $9 million contract, $4.5 million cap hit. We'll hit all of those digits here. $5 million this year, $4 million next year. But here's a guy who's Mr. Game 7. He's won 3 Stanley Cups, and I think he fills a huge void that the Carolina Hurricanes were missing in the locker room and in those big game situations when it's time to close them out. I love the signing for the Canes.
Yeah, I mean, we've hammered on this point a lot, but when you go back to what Ron Francis and Bill Peters said at the beginning of the offseason in April, they identified 3 areas they wanted to improve. They wanted to improve goaltending, so not even a month later, Francis trades for and then signs Scott Darling. They wanted to shore up the 5-6 pair on defense, and so right before the draft, they acquire Trevor Van Riemsdyk, and he's a guy who can fit in that 5-6 role. We'll see how the pairings shake out in training.
Francis said that he could play both sides, too.
Exactly. So. And you know, Bill Peters loves having a lefty and righty in all 3 pairs. Yeah. He likes the versatility that provides. And then the last area they wanted to improve was they wanted to add a top 6 forward. And they go out on July 1st on a day that we said last episode isn't historically a popular day for the Hurricanes because there is a lot of money and term thrown around that teams may come to regret in a few years.
Impulse buying, as it were.
Impulse buying, yeah. But teams thinking that, okay, you know, here's our time to spend the money. And Ron Francis said it even at his press conference a few hours later, is that free agency day and trade deadline day scare him the most because that's when teams maybe start to panic and start throwing things out that they think make sense at the time, and then a year or two down the line they begin to regret. But the Hurricanes, with I think one of the top signings, if you look at, you know, again, we talked about last week, people ranking the draft, people rank free agency moves, and I think this one's a popular move, bringing in a veteran guy in Justin Williams, who, as you said, has won 3 Stanley Cups. He's a top 6 forward. He can last 2 seasons scored 20 goals. He's not going to get you 30. He's not going to get you 80 points, as Rod Brindamore said, but he's a good complement to guys like Jeff Skinner, who's probably going to score 30, Sebastian Aho, who could potentially take that next step and score 30 this year. If you can get 20 out of Justin Williams, that's solid. And you also mentioned the other big facet as to why they brought this guy in is his leadership, yeah, both on and off the ice. The Hurricanes didn't have a captain last season. And whether or not Williams puts on the C, you know, we'll find out in training camp. But he's going to come in and he's going to be able to provide sort of learning experiences for these young guys who haven't been in those big game situations. That's the hope, is that he can come in and guide them and show them, you know, this is how the game of hockey is done. This is how it's played. This is how you have to act. This is what it takes to be successful. And I think that's a very underrated part, I guess, of the signing, is that, just, you know, put his numbers aside, put his offensive contributions aside, this is a guy who can come in and lead. I think he wears a letter. I don't know if it's the C. He can at least wear the A. And I think it was a great signing for the Hurricanes on the first day of free agency.
All right, let me put you on the spot, because I'm going to put the captaincy on him because it eliminates a lot of questions. But do you give him the C right away when we come to training camp because of his experience? He's been here before in Carolina. I do it for these reasons. You tell me if I'm wrong, and then you go down the road, because I am putting you on the spot on this one. You give him the captaincy. That way you don't put it on Jeff Skinner, or Jordan Staal, who, let's face it, I think Jordan's still wrestling with the fact that this was his brother's team, Eric Staal's team, and could be a reason why he hasn't had the C. Or you put it on Justin Falk or a younger guy, and then you expect all of this, oh, you wear the C, the great leadership that used to come into how we think that letter stands. I think you eliminate all those problems for other guys, and you put it on an older player who understands how to run the room, how to run the game, how to train. It's a win-win for everybody. That's why I give Justin Williams the C. And it ends the questions of the fans asking, when are you going to name a captain?
Right.
Because he walks through the door.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with it at all. I think it would be a nice sort of bridge between Eric Staal, then not having a captain. Williams comes in for a couple of years, wears the C. You know, maybe he gets a one-year deal at the end of his two. You know, who knows?
Whatever.
But it's a nice bridge between, okay, this is Eric Staal's team. Justin Williams comes in, wears the C for a few years, and then maybe you look at a guy like Jordan Staal, a guy like Jeff Skinner, even a guy like Sebastian Aho, I think, who has some leadership in him. This provides a nice little bridge between the two eras, if you want to call them that, and I think he'd be perfectly capable of wearing a C, and I think he'd be comfortable in that position as well.
Where do you see him in the top six? I see him playing alongside Jordan Staal.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really dangerous, dominant line. They're going to have the puck a lot. I think he's going to probably end up playing with both Staal and Rask at points through the season, but I think he starts on the right wing on Jordan Staal's line. And then the team has really a multitude of options of who to surround on the left wing, but that's going to be a really good line. It's going to give Jordan Staal a real nice compliment to his right, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Absolutely, and the Canes weren't done there adding talent. They went out and acquired Marcus Kruger from the Vegas Golden Knights via the Chicago Blackhawks.
Right.
That sounds familiar this offseason.
Yep.
They did that with Trevor Van Riemsdyk. Kruger comes in with two Stanley Cups. He can be a third or fourth line center. This is a big body who can play in the middle, can kill penalties. He's got the Stanley Cup experience with Chicago, international experience with Sweden, and this is a guy who I think checks off the box of, okay, who's going to be that fourth line center? Who's going to help the penalty kill? For Jay McClement, I know that people would always look at the offense and the production, and that's what we all get in enamored with, but he was such a solid player on the penalty kill, a reason why the Canes' penalty kill was so high all season long. Well, now Kruger steps in and can take those spots. He's going to take big draws. He's going to be a penalty killer. And again, he's a winner, and that's something else Ron Francis addressed, Michael, which is he wants to bring in guys who know how to win. You know, the time of not making the playoffs is over. And when you get there, you have to have guys who know what they're doing.
Right.
The Canes certainly have that experience now in the locker room.
Yeah, I mean, Jay McClement was never one you relied on his offensive output. And Marcus Kruger is going to be the same way. You look at his numbers from the past, you know, few seasons. He's not going to be the Justin Williams. He's not going to be the top six producer. He's a bottom six forward, but he's extremely, extremely valuable to the team. He's going to be relied on a lot, I think, in his own zone. You know, when the faceoff is in the Hurricane zone to Scott Darling or Cam Ward's right or left, you're going to see Marcus Kruger come over the boards a lot. That's Joel Quenneville deployed him in a lot of the same situations in Chicago. Mark Lazarus, I tweeted this, a link to his story over the weekend. If you haven't checked it out, go read it. It's a good read. Sort of gives you a background on Kruger, but he points out that Marcus Kruger was on the ice in the final minutes of both the 2013 and 2015 Stanley Cup final when the Chicago Blackhawks won it. So this is a guy who is trusted to really seal the championship.
Yep.
And, you know, I can't think of a better person to have on the team. And so, yeah, when you look at the whole, you know, Jay McClement, unrestricted free agent, so there needs to be a fourth line center or potentially a third line center too. Marcus Kruger definitely fills that void. He's going to come in. He's going to be a good PKer. He's going to be good on the dot. And he's just going to be good to have in the room because, as you mentioned, he's been there. He's won championships. That's where the Hurricanes want to get to, and hopefully he can sort of provide a path there.
And there's chemistry too. I mean, he's walking into a room. He knows how Joakim Nordstrom plays or Teuvo Teravainen plays if he's got to be matched up with those players. I mean, he knows where Trevor Van Riemsdyk is going to be behind him on the blue line. So all these moves have made sense so far this offseason, which does, it begs the question, Is Ron Francis done, or is there still something out there to do via trade? Or because Lord knows, everybody knows that Joe Sakic wants to make a trade until it comes time to get
he's
something.
He's wanted to make a trade for years.
Yes, he's wanted to make a trade, but he's also that kid in the neighborhood who wants to have you come over, and then he plays with all the cool toys, and you're left with, like, the box.
Yeah, and I think, was it Nick Francis's conversation with you at during State of the Canes on at Summerfest on July 1st, and you know, he basically said that the trade that Joe Sakic wants to make doesn't really make sense for the Hurricanes right now because the team is loaded with young defensemen. That's what every other team wants.
Yes.
But Francis isn't comfortable really parting with one of those key pieces to get a piece in return that might not even stay beyond a year or two.
And by the way, we'll fill in the blanks. Everybody's talking about Matt Duchene, the center for
who?
Colorado. Yeah, exactly. He has 2 years left on his contract, and then you've got to sign him, and he's going to want the moon and the sun and every other star that goes along with it. So that's what Ron Francis said. If you didn't come to State of the Canes, that was his comment. It doesn't feel like it's the right thing to do to give up a piece, a piece that is coveted throughout the league for a guy that you might only have for 2 years.
And it doesn't mean that won't happen in sometime in the future, you know, depending on where trade talks go from here. I mean, clearly Sakic is asking for quite a bit, seeing as he hasn't found, you know, a dancing partner just yet. So, you know, who knows where those trade talks go in the future. You asked the question of if Ron Francis is done, though. I think things are mainly set. I don't see anything big happening from here on out. I think the Hurricanes went into the offseason with specific goals. They accomplished those goals, and I think they're ready to see how everything progresses leading into training camp and beyond. But you never know. I mean, all it takes is a phone call, and things could change.
Yeah, and again, I think there are going to be some free agents, Mike, who are going to be available once we get to training camp or just on the outset of training camp. There are going to be some guys looking for a contract. Now, no scientific purpose with this list that I have put together, but 10 free agents as of the recording of Canes Cast, Revenge of the Fifth. It is the best. It is the best title we could come up with,
and the best of the prequels, Revenge of the Sith.
I would agree with that,
and maybe the best of the first three podcasts
so far.
Remains to be seen. We're only 12 minutes in.
I haven't introduced myself yet in the podcast. I just gave it to you, and we did start off with a Spider-Man.
That's true. That's Mike Maniscalco. He's the television and web host. You've seen him on CarolinaHurricanes.com and on Fox Sports Carolinas.
No, thank you very much, Michael. And seen about town this weekend as well, as along with Michael Smith. Not with you, but I heard you made a couple of rounds here and there. All right, best free agents. We're going to just throw them out there. Not necessarily saying that they'll fit for the Carolina Hurricanes, but Mike Fisher, the 37-year-old center of the Nashville Predators, he checks off the box if he can be a number one center. The bigger thing for me, Carrie Underwood. So would I put the phone in my hand and say, hey, Mike, Raleigh, what do you think?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And his name is Mike.
That's true. There are plenty of them here. He would join a great crowd.
Cody Franson, defenseman. He is a free agent from Buffalo, 29 years old. That's what's intriguing to me on this. 29-year-old puck mover, still has some hockey left. He'd be the veteran on the blue line.
Yeah, because the other two defensemen that you put on this list, Brian Campbell and Johnny Oduya, both older guys, veteran guys, but they have that winning pedigree that Francis has really gone after this offseason.
Yeah, Campbell and Oduya are on this list for me because I think those are guys who, at this point in their career, can be a 5, 6, or 7 defenseman. Like if they're a healthy extra for a night, I don't think that is going to offend them. And they bring in some more veteran leadership in the room and Stanley Cups as well, the winning that we talked about. A few other names out here: Yuri Hudler and Thomas Vanek, both 33 years old, both left wingers, both can score. Hudler can do a little bit more than Thomas Vanek, who, as we know, in times has been Thomas Vanish. Has disappeared.
Or Vanek.
That's true. I've heard both. Disappears. It's sometimes Hudler has the winning pedigree from Detroit. He's a guy who can play on the penalty kill. He can play on the power play. We know Vanek can do that as well. And then there's Jaromir Jagr at 45. I just want somebody to sign Jagr. His Instagram and Twitter account has been brilliant this offseason.
Do you think he'll get a contract?
I think somebody will.
Yeah. Take flyer on him. Do you think he'd take a PTO with a team come training camp if he's still without a contract?
Yes,
at that point
in
his career.
Yeah. But I can see him going to the LA Kings, something like that.
A short 1-year deal somewhere.
Hanging out.
In case you were wondering, Ron Francis has said he has not called Jaromir Jagr. He used to play with an old teammate.
Yeah, think about that. He won two Stanley Cups with him in Pittsburgh when I was in high school.
And Jágr still doing it.
Still doing it. And still
and doing it decently well for well,
I was gonna
his
say,
age.
LL Cool J said, doing it, doing it, and doing it well. That's what he does. One other name I'll put on the list is Victor Stahlberg. Just when you think of the fact, yeah, left winger, I think he was really comfortable here. I liked how good he was on the penalty kill for this team. So the team seems to be set, especially with the addition of Josh Joris, yeah, who we didn't even mention, will be a fourth liner who's going to be a penalty killer, but he's one of those guys Bill Peters likes, can play center, can play right wing, interchangeable. But Stahlberg's a name I just put out there just because I think he was a fit here. I think he was a good player here. And if things are right, why not reach out to him and see if he can, you know, fill a left-wing line for you? And does that do something else, open up something else down the line for Ron Francis?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly an option. He had a pretty good season here, and the Hurricanes were able to flip him at the trade deadline. But I think, you know, we were looking at the depth chart before we got going here, and I want to say the Hurricanes might be in a pretty good position to move forward with what they have, because they've sort of filled out their lines, you know, with some free agent pickups, some guys they re-sign, retain, you know, through the expansion draft.
Think about it. They kept part of their team intact.
Right.
Because the Vegas Golden Knights didn't take one of the two guys who we thought were going to be a Vegas Golden Knight in the expansion draft. They
exactly
protected Lee Stempniak, and they protected Joakim Nordstrom by giving up Connor Brickley and a fifth-round pick.
Lee Stempniak, who can probably be relied on to give you 20 goals, 50 points, something like that. That's a good NHL producer. And Joakim Nordstrom, who I think is going to play a pretty big role on the fourth line this year, maybe with an old teammate in Kruger and Joris, or you look at guys like perhaps Phil DiGiuseppe, Brock McGinn. Yeah. The Hurricanes have depth, and they also have some young talent in Charlotte that's going to grow and come along this year. And I think that's what some of these contracts do. A guy like Joris, a guy like Kruger, allows the Hurricanes to fit them in the lineup and allow their young talent in Charlotte, a guy like Nick Waugh, who's a very talented center, but maybe could use a year in the AHL to just get a feel for the professional game. The Hurricanes have depth and they have options, and that's a good thing.
Oh, absolutely, especially coming into the 20th anniversary season of the team relocating here to the Carolinas. Before we move on to one of the things that you just hinted at, some of the young players and prospects camp, Michael, just put this out there. Here are the lines.
If I like it,
you can keep it.
And if not,
just send it right back here. You and I have gone over the lines a little bit. And again, I'm not going to get into, well, they said this is the number one line. I'm going to go Bill Peters. We got four lines.
Yeah.
You can tab who you want to be
a,
number one.
A, B, C, and D.
But you've got Jordan Staal and Justin Williams, a combination at center and right wing. The question is, who plays left wing for them? Will that be Elias Lindholm? Will that be Jeff Skinner? Or will that be Teuvo Teravainen?
Yeah, that's a great question. I want to say it's probably going to be Teravainen jumps out at me just because I know Bill Peters likes Skinner, Ryan Stempniak as a line, and that's probably going to be at least what you unveil at training camp,
yeah,
as a line, and just see how it works through the preseason, maybe through the first week of the season. But there's certainly potential for Skinner to jump onto that line. Teuvo Teravainen seems to make some sense there, perhaps.
Speed, playmaking ability.
Yeah.
Yeah, you give that offensive threat with there. And it
can hang on to the puck.
Yeah, that's one of the things he can do, because he can play off of the size of Jordan Staal and, of course, the experience and skill of Justin Williams.
Yeah, Stahl's going to open up a lot of room a guy like Teravainen.
You also mentioned Jeff Skinner playing with Derek Ryan and Lee Stempniak. That's just a line that Bill Peters liked. He liked a lot last year. There was good chemistry. That means Elias Lindholm would be with Victor Rask and Sebastian Aho. That's not a bad line to put together either.
And, you know, Lindholm and Rask, line mates in the World Championship this past year for Sweden. So, again, some familiarity there. Some good options and some pieces they can move around,
yep,
too. I mean, that's really the benefit of what the Hurricanes have assembled here is pieces that you can fit on the left or the right side, on wing or at center, move up and down really the lineup and be effective in whatever position they're used.
And then your fourth line is Marcus Kruger centering Josh Joris on the right and Joakim Nordstrom on the left.
I like that fourth line a lot.
Yeah.
I really do.
With Brock McGinn and Phil DiGiuseppe, you can work their way into the lineup.
Exactly. And it's going to be competitive. Like right off the bat from training camp, you know, these guys like Brock McGinn and Phil DiGiuseppe and guys that had time up here last year are going to be looking, you know, at the depth chart saying, okay, I need to really show up and work my way into the lineup. It should make for a really competitive training camp.
Blue line, by the way, Slavin and Pesci, Hanifin and Falk. And I've got Fleury and Van Riemsdyk right now, if nothing changes, or Dahlbeck as your 6-7.
Right.
But that's why when I looked at the free agents that are out there, Mike, you know, a couple of names seem to fit, could play right defense.
Well, that's a pretty young blue line.
Or left,
I think,
defense, whichever you're looking for.
Yeah, I think Van Riemsdyk would be the elder by beating Klaas, or maybe Klaas Dahlbeck's the oldest. It's very close, but they're still young players. And then, you know, we can't count out a guy like Trevor Carrick or Roland McEwen from Charlotte. They come in.
Or Jake Chelios.
Yeah. If they come in and put together a good training camp, a good preseason, you know, you never know what could happen. And we might have one or two of those in Traverse City. And you saw what Victor Rask did a few years ago in Traverse City. Really just blew the doors off, carried that into the exhibition season, and wound up with a roster spot. So certainly an opportunity for one of those guys to do the same.
And you led us right to Canes rookie camp. What stood out to you from rookie camp, from the 3 days of the practice to when we got to the scrimmage game on Summerfest on Saturday? Tell you what stood out to me. I've been to a bunch of rookie camps, and I am generally the biggest guy in the room, reserve comment. But like height wise, and I felt like an infant next to some of these kids.
Some real big guys, and they're 18, and they're not old guys.
That's what stood out to me. But not only do they have some size and some skill that we saw, but they had a pretty good maturity level off of the ice talking to these guys. So
for sure,
I loved what I saw from Summerfest and from Prospect Camp this year. I don't know if that translates to anything immediately, but what stood out to me was just how prepared these guys are for this next step and where they're heading.
Yeah, and I really liked Martin Nakash, draft pick from this year, comes in listed at 6'1", probably much larger than that. He's big, he can skate, a lot of skill, speed, really quick, and he's got a shot too. And that is really a complete package in terms of a center that's going to play in the National Hockey League. Got some options for where he plays next year. He could go back to Czech and play with his top team there in Brno, where he would be, you know, playing 20 minutes.
Say it.
20 minutes a night with men.
Thank you.
And Martin Nyrat, who's also a man.
Yeah.
I mean, not to, but Martin Nyrat would be his line.
Still
mate.
A man last time.
Still a man. Martin Nyrat would be his line mate, or he could jump over to North America and play, I believe,
Saginaw.
It's in the OHL with Saginaw. They took him in the import draft. He doesn't have to go there. He could potentially. There are some benefits to playing junior, mainly just getting used to that North American-sized rink, and you play a few more games than you do over in Czech. But,
and you can keep an eye on him a little bit more, I hate to use the term, more easy.
Yeah.
But it's easy to scout games and get reports on, hey, how's he doing in the weight room? What's he doing here? You can get that if he's here in North America. Plus,
right.
I believe the Saginaw Spirit had their eagle mascot from Stephen Colbert, formerly Stiegel Cobeagle. I don't think it's still the mascot, but he sponsored them for 1 year. I'm pretty sure about that.
Yeah, so I mean, a couple options for him. Either one he chooses is going to be good for his development. And Ron Francis has said, you know, historically he stays out of that, sort of leaves it up to the player to decide. But this is a guy who's either going to go to the OHL or back to Czech. Spend a year developing, and then next year I think really wants to come in and try to make this hockey club. And if rookie camp was any indication, he's well on his way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I am efforting right now the Stiegel Cobeagle to make sure that I'm right on that. So we're there. But,
well, if you're not, I'm sure the listeners will point it out.
I wrote down a bunch of names for young players who were looking to make that jump, Mike. And there's Nicholas Waugh. There's Julian Gauthier, Spencer Smallman, Warren Fogle, all guys who had not just great seasons last year in juniors, but seasons that they led their teams through the playoffs. Warren Fogle's the MVP of the OHL postseason, playing for the London Knights. You know, Nicholas Waugh, with what he's been able to do, has been great. I've got people. Who's? Erie, the Otters?
With Warren Fogle?
Yeah. Did I say London? Who played for London? Spencer?
He started there and then
Thank
was
you.
Traded.
I'll get everything squared away by the time it's
We have a third party here.
Assist
an ombudsman.
Yeah, exactly.
Or an ombudswoman, well, I guess.
Nikki Stout.
Yes.
Well, you've said ombudswoman. We need to say the name.
Gave it away there.
That's we're in Chuck Caton's office.
Oh.
Proud noise only.
Thank you.
But yeah, a talented group of prospects that was in Raleigh for a week. You've seen some of these guys, like the ones you mentioned, Nicholas Waugh, Julian Gauthier, I guess, for just a couple of years. But Warren Fogle, I think this might have been his fourth time here. You've seen this group grow. Nicholas Waugh, I mean, you just look at him from, you know, a few years ago when he was drafted in here at development camp to today. He's really bulked up. He's added some muscle. I know he told us, you know, that was one of his focuses to get in the gym and really just work on his strength. You've seen this group of prospects grow. It's very skilled. They're very big. They can skate. And they're good kids. I think that above all, when you get in the room and you're talking to these guys and they're just good kids. And that's important. That goes a long way. Martin Nakash just learned English this past year.
Yeah.
And his English is great. And he's got a sense of humor, too. So it's real good to get these guys here and sort of get to talk to them. And you sort of notice throughout the week, at the beginning of the week, things might be a little quiet in the room. But as the days progress, it gets, you know, more and more chatty in the room. Guys' personalities start to come out. They did a team building outing on the golf course this year, and apparently not too many of them were that good at golf. That's the word.
That's also coming from our ombudsman.
That's the word from the golf course, at least. But it's a great week for them to come in and get to know some of their peers and just to learn, soak in all they can about what it takes to be a Carolina Hurricane. And there it is. You've pulled up the Saginaw
Spirit.
Yep.
And Stiegel, Cole Beagle.
There
that's
it
right.
is.
See, I multitasked during this. So yeah. I hope that makes the ombudsman happy. We can keep our job for another week if that's the case. So not too bad. Not too shabby. So we'll be all set. And there is Stiegel, Cole Beagle as well.
There it is. When was that? What year?
Oh, it's 2006.
Oh, that's...
Oh, it's been... It was a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where my memory goes. I also... Everything that you've just said, you kind of check down the boxes of what these guys are going to do, what they're going to be. I would love, in a perfect world, Mike, these guys play a full year, maybe even a little bit more, with the Charlotte Checkers and win. It's not just play there, but play and win. Get into the playoffs and develop that identity of what it's like to win at this level. You know, keep moving up the ranks. A lot of teams have done that. A lot of teams have had success by having young players play together. And then when it comes time to get here, they're good to go. Take a look at the Detroit Red Wings for 26 years. That worked out pretty well for that franchise. And I think that's part of the model that the Hurricanes are under. So I would love to see all of these guys who are eligible to play in Charlotte this year play in Charlotte. You know, you give them a couple of veterans to learn from, and they find a way to win these games. And then that experience will pay off way down the road here in Raleigh with the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, it's certainly not a bad thing. And you know, you look at Hayden Fleury, who spent all of last season with Charlotte, and I think that puts him in way better position than if he had come in and been thrown into a handful of games this past season. It puts him in way better position to come in this year and potentially be successful. So a year in the AHL to develop is never a bad thing, and the Hurricanes are in a good position with the depth that we mentioned to be able to do that.
All right, and we couldn't close out the Canes cast without looking back on the 4th of July. Again, we've looked back on all of the things that the Hurricanes have done. But, Michael, 4th of July, barbecue or cookout? I'm not going to get into an argument with people over what is what. Barbecue's just a pig. All right, fine. Good.
Cookout's a restaurant.
Cookout's a restaurant, so I don't know what you want. But when you're going to an affair where there's a grill, what needs...
A soiree.
Thank you.
An outdoor soiree.
Especially celebrating America.
Yes.
What needs to be there? The must-have.
A grill.
Well, I know that.
And and then to put on the grill, burgers.
So we're going hamburgers.
Yeah, definitely. Hot dogs.
We do hot dogs?
Which are not sandwiches.
No, they're a hot not dog's sandwiches. Not a sandwich. That's like saying a pizza is a sandwich thing.
It's absurd. Or a taco. It's not a sandwich.
It's its own entity.
Exactly.
Just live with that.
Yes, and that's the end of that.
So just burgers and hot dogs?
Burgers and dogs.
You don't do anything else?
Maybe on request.
Okay.
But burgers and dogs are the essentials.
That's it. You have to have...
It's the quintessential American cookout.
Meal. That's it. It's what you have to have. Beverages. Variety, or you just say, this is what we have?
I think a variety is good. Aim to please.
I'm with you.
Both adult and non-adult.
Exactly. A little, you know, spread it around. A cornucopia, if you will.
Yes.
That's what I go for.
A spread. A beverage spread.
Also, if you're hosting, you keep a couple of the good stuff for you. Ooh. Don't put that all out. Good friends get the good stuff, but, you know, if Bob, the neighbor who hasn't returned the lawnmower, he can get the stuff that you got on sale that week at the grocery store. Yeah. That's fine.
There's no problem with that.
Side dishes. Very big on side dishes for me. Don't give me any. I like mayo-based side dishes. I can live with that. Don't let it sit in the sun for 5 hours. And then be like, how come you didn't eat it?
Because it sat in the sun for five
That's
hours.
That's my answer.
Macaroni and cheese?
Oh, God, yes.
Corn?
Yes. On the cob.
Either way.
No, got to be on the cob. For this weekend, it's got to be on the cob.
That's fair. Beans? I'm not a huge fan.
Nor am I.
But I feel like they have to be available for the masses.
Where are we on the potato and mac salad side of things? Because I'd rather have macaroni and cheese than mac salad.
Yeah, yeah, macaroni and cheese.
All right, so we've...
That trumps everything for me.
Exactly. That's why Michael and I get along well.
Yeah.
We know how to throw a barbecue / cookout / soiree.
Outdoor soiree. Thank a 4th of July outdoor soiree.
All right. Well, that'll do it for episode 3 of the Canes Cast.
Revenge of the 5th. It is July 5th. We should clarify. That's why it's July 5th. We're
recorded on July 5th.
Revenge of the 5th.
Posted on July 5th. Soon it will be on iTunes and Google Play.
Yes, very soon. This, if not this week, then next week when episode 4, which is...
Just going to be Canes Cast.
Just Canes Cast, because I grew up with the New Hope. But
no, my entire life it was. And I was going to get into the explanation of it next week, but we got the time now.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
We'll probably go over it again next week, too, if you haven't made it all 30 minutes in.
When Star Wars came out, and yes, it came out episode 4, New Hope, everybody says whatever, when it first came out, if you said Star Wars... Everybody knew exactly what movie you were talking about. And then one day, my wife's nerd friend, I go, yeah, Star Wars is still probably my favorite. But, you know, Empire, I'm a little bit older. Empire's probably just nudged out Star Wars. And she goes, they're all Star Wars. And I looked at her and I go, no, Empire's Empire. Star Wars is the first one. It's called A New Hope.
Right.
And I'm like, no, it's called Star Wars. She goes, look it up. It's called A New Hope. I said, I know it's A New Hope. But for 27 years of my life, it was just Star Wars.
So it'll be just Canes Cast next week.
Thank you.
Maybe we'll throw in a New Hope spinoff title. Maybe.
Dopey kind of explanation. Lord. Sorry. That's
ruffled
those,
your feathers.
It was just the righteous indignation of, it's called A New Hope. They're all Star Wars.
They are all Star Wars. Even Rogue One. A Star Wars story.
Well, it's a Star Wars story. It's not Star Wars.
I watched
Wars.
That again last night.
It's really
I'm just going to bring that up now because it seemed American to watch Rogue One last night. I don't know why.
Because it was an original Star Wars story, yeah, as opposed to let's bring out episode
7 or 8,
which is just retreading episode 4. Star Wars.
But really well.
Yeah, sure.
A new generation of Star Wars stories. A new saga. Not a new saga. It's a continuation of the old saga.
There you go.
But Rogue One was excellent. If you haven't seen it, see it. There's a scene at the end. I won't spoil it because it did only come out, December?
It's a year ago. So, yeah, don't
I won't
ruin
spoil it.
It,
but the last act is just tremendous.
Tremendous.
It's so good. I mean, you're on the edge of your seat for the whole time, even though, like, you kind of know what's going to happen. But
yeah, but it plods along a little bit.
But
although
see it.
I did find out they had a different ending ready to go, and they decided not to go with it.
Yeah, lots of discussions about reshoots and reshufflings. And,
oh, but by it's, the way, it all Han goes Solo into... movie lost its directors. Yeah. We're worried now.
Well, I know. We mentioned that, a couple podcasts ago, that's one of the ones we're looking forward to. Lots of concern there, but I think it'll be okay. I think Lucasfilm, Kathleen Kennedy, I think she knows what she's doing.
We all thought that with episodes 1, 2, and 3 as well.
Well, but... He's not involved anymore.
Well, that's
so
true. We're not going to be involved talking any further. That'll do it for this edition of the Canes Cast. I'm Mike Maniscalco. He's Michael Smith. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.